When Todd asked me to do this, a few years ago, he gave me a book, kind of a photo essay book, was Mothers and Sons, and I had been paging through that. And that book talked a lot about transition. And so I had in my mind that we would talk about transition of a child and as they grow. And then he sent me this email or told me, he said, well, you didn't tell me what you were talking about, so I just gave it a title. And the title he gave was A Mother's Wisdom.
I figured if you're going to speak, if you're going to speak on Mother's Day, you better bring some wisdom. So I figured that was a nice broad thing that she could fall under.
Well, I'm going to tell you in a minute what he said after that. But so I've tried to incorporate that. There's one thing I'd like to just interject here. We talked about people that this is a sad day for them. And I think sometime I don't always think of those people on Mother's Day. But it's been 4 years since I've had to buy a Mother's Day card or Mother's Day flowers. And I know the sadness that brings to me. It's been, Larry and I were talking on the way down here, I think it's been 16 years since both my children were with me on Mother's Day, because our daughter is in Haiti. And 16 years ago, she had had a baby in February, so I know they were home in May. So those things bring sadness. And then I read something on Facebook of a gal I've known just for years and years and years, and she moved away and married late in life. And she put a statement on Facebook. She said, I hurt every Mother's Day. She never had children. And that just really blew me away. She's an extremely talented gal, has a good marriage now. But she hurts every Mother's Day. So for those of you that might have sadness or hurt today, I hope in what we share today that you can find something as well. We're going to talk about a mother. When he said to me, Mother's Wisdom, his next sentence to me was, I labeled it A Mother's Wisdom, I hope you have some.
Now, okay, now people.
Quote.
You don't fully understand our relationship, so you just keep your judgment. And here's the other thing, you know, you label it as a mother's wisdom, but whenever we do one of these, if you're not a mom, you don't get to check out. Because if you have young people that you have in your life, and you're a Christian, you should be influencing them. And so something along what we say today is, whether you're a father, a grandparent, an aunt, an uncle, or just someone that has a young person as a neighbor that needs a positive Christian influence, this is for you. So I better not. I'm not doing a lot of talking, so I'm looking for nodders. So I might just get up and wander.
Amen.
And hit
okay.
You. So,
all right, go that's ahead. Good. So the mother I thought we would talk about, and actually I had gotten this message last year, and he didn't invite me to do this. So what he told me was keep it. So I kept it anyway. So that's why I had this message. And the person I want to talk about is Mary, the mother of our Lord. And I think we as Protestants kind of shove her some time off to the side because we're so afraid of what the Catholics did to her that we don't want to glorify her too much. And so I don't know if I've ever heard a sermon where Mary was the central figure in all my life. So I thought about Mary. And my first thoughts went to when Mary, before she gave birth to our Lord, she was a teenager. She was young. And apparently she was doing some things right, because God was pleased with her. And I thought about when I was 14, 13 years old, or when my children were that age, I'm not so sure I could have said that. So I take it Mary was a very kind, devoted young lady. We don't know much about her family, but here she was, and she was engaged to this older man, and boom, an angel shows up one day. Now, can you imagine? Now, I think they were a little bit more used to perhaps angels or appearances, or they would be a little more accepting. If that happened today, I'd probably be on the floor in a dead faint. But Mary had an angel show up, And he says to her, guess what? You're going to have a baby. She was a teenager. She's a pretty wise teenager anyway, because she said, how can this be? Apparently she knew how things like that happen. And after he explained the situation to her, she said something that just really struck me this time. And she said, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you said. Can you imagine? May it be to me as you have said. I remember becoming a mom. The first time, we were just excited that we were going to have a child. We really didn't. We wanted a healthy baby. And so we certainly prayed when I was pregnant for Chris. But when the second time rolled around, I really wanted a son. I thought Larry needed a son in his life. I was raised without brothers, so I had no idea that it was more difficult to raise a son than a daughter. Or maybe it was in our situation, I'm not sure. But I prayed for a son, and I can remember doing that on a regular basis. Larry, I don't think, really cared, as long as we had a healthy child. But I thought Larry needed a son, and the Lord gave us Todd. I remember the first time that I saw Todd in the delivery room, and I laughed out loud. I actually laughed out loud. And I don't know if it was relief. I don't know if he was that funny looking. I didn't think you were that funny looking. But I can remember laughing. And I'm here to tell you, he has brought laughter into our lives. He has also brought us to our knees a lot of times. But he has brought laughter into our lives. So I know Todd, and we're going to talk primarily about him, because both of our children are a gift from God. But I know Todd was given to us by God. But I also know that a child comes to all of us as a very unique person. You know, we as parents have dreams for our children. We have things that we think they're going to be like, things they're going to do. Maybe they're going to be the next, who was the man that just got, Derek Jeter. Maybe they're going to be president. I don't know. But I know they don't turn out generally that way, because they are unique person, and God has a plan. We all come with God's plan stamped in us. And so let me say, with Todd, perhaps he wasn't the child that we expected. I expected him to be more like his father, actually. And guess what? He's more like his mom. He shares things with me that he does not share with Larry. We're much more artistic than Larry. You've heard, you know, the tale of him plowing the field or disking the field, and he's out there playing pirate and not caring that the roads aren't straight. And my husband just stood there and shook his head. He could not comprehend. I kind of got it, but, you know, Larry did not. So I think Mary and I think ourselves have to look at these children that God's blessed us with and say, may it be to me as you have said. You've blessed me with this child, the child you wanted me to have.
So if you weren't paying attention, obviously my mother needed a son like me, and God shined his face on her. And did that. But when we were talking about this, I think we as parents, and this is something that I know Beth and I are in the midst of, is, they can hear me. boy, two women in my life correcting me. Whew, it's going to be a good day. All right. That idea of God's plan being stamped on our children long before we ever get them. And I think we live in a culture that says, this is what you want for your children. This idea of success, it looks like this, the American dream and all those things, and yet God's plan can be something way better and way more than what we can ever dream for our children. And so the one thing, my parents didn't do everything right, and I'm not going to clear, you know, hang out all my dirty laundry this morning. But the one thing they did do right by my sister and I is even when we were little, we heard regularly, we don't care what you do as long as you do what God wants you to do. I think my sister caught the clue a little quicker than I did. At age 12, she was already going to the mission field. It took me longer to be able to accept ministry. But you want parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles, tell the kids in your life that God has a plan for them and that's the best that they can do. It's not about a career. It's not about making a bunch of money. It is about God's plan for their life. And like I said, we were lucky enough to hear that on a regular basis. So nugget number one, tell your kids it's about God, not necessarily what our culture says is success.
If we go back to Mary, Mary must have had some concerns when she found out that she was indeed pregnant. In that culture, you could be put to death for having a child out of wedlock. Joseph kind of saved her from that. And we don't know if Mary had parents or family. She must have had some. How do you go about going to uncles, aunts, or mom and dad, or whoever, and say, guess what? I'm pregnant with the Messiah, even though they were looking for the Messiah. And so she was kind of in a difficult situation. And we don't know about that time. I don't know who prepared Mary for the eventuality of childbirth, if she talked to people about that. I know she paid a visit to her cousin Elizabeth. And that was affirmation for Mary, because when she came, Elizabeth knew the child in Elizabeth's womb, jumped and said, Elizabeth knew that Mary was carrying our Lord. And Mary writes an interesting song at kind of that time, and it's all about humility. Do you ever think Mary could have been really, really proud? I don't know how a mother who has a child who's the president of a country feels, but I suspect they're proud. Can you imagine how Mary could have felt that she was going to be the mother of the Messiah? But all we see in Mary is humility, and that's wisdom. And I thought about that, and I think parenting is probably one of the most humbling experiences that any of us can ever have. And so we see that lesson in Mary. I also thought a bit about the whole miracle of birth. And I don't know, I saw a little one leave the last time you've witnessed the miracle of birth or you've held a little one. But I hope you marveled. I hope you just marveled. Do you know how many things have to go right? We can't comprehend. As a mom, I hope I never lose that. I hope I never lose that marvel at the whole birthing process of a child coming into the world. You know, in Psalms 139:1, David says, God knit him together in his mother's womb. And it dawned on me, God knows our children more intimately than we ever will as moms. God knows about my baby boy in ways I don't know. What a blessing that is. What a special thing that is. And Mary must have thought of that as well. Next, we see her, she'd gone through the pregnancy, and it's Christmas time, so she has to have the baby. I thought, as I read through this, you know, it was certainly a divine conception, but I have a sneaking suspicion it was a human delivery. Nowhere do I read that Mary escaped giving birth to Jesus without some pain and discomfort. And again, she was young. But there she was, and who comes to see her? Some shepherds. And I don't know if you've ever been with people that worked with sheep. I don't think they bathed before they came. I know that smell because we raised sheep for many years. And so here these shepherds come, and they tell her about the angels. And it says in the scriptures that Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. And that's another thing I see in Mary as wisdom. She looked at what was happening, and she took them inside, and she thought about them. And I think we as moms all do that to a certain extent. And so I started to think about Todd, and Joy said to me, just let it all out there. Well, I'm not going to let it all out there, because he has to preach here. And he's your pastor. And I respect that position, by the way. But I thought about some of the things that happened in Todd's life and the way that God kept him. Todd had a lot of allergies as a little one. And I can remember endless nights standing by his crib. And we had a full crib tent for him, plastic that surrounded the whole crib. And so we could keep steam in so that the boy could breathe. And I can remember doing that night after night after night with him. But God kept him. I can remember when he was very small and his feet had turned in. And the treatment of choice at that time was to put your child in something called a Dennis Brown splint. And we did that. And I can remember his legs were just cramped. I can't do that, can I? And he screamed. He just screamed. And we couldn't take him off. But he walked straight today. And I remember that. I remember some of the fun times we had. That you made us laugh. And because you always had a really unique way of looking at life. I can remember in Haiti. When he was just a little guy. And the Lord had sent us to Haiti. And after we were there a while, Todd started to get sick. Every month he would have a fever for a few days, and then it would go away. And every month it came back. And every month it was higher. And we did this month after month. And finally it was getting high enough that this was a pretty serious situation. And I can remember going to the lab. We could do some blood work. And they did that, and they found his white blood count was very, very low. He had no protection against anything. The gal who was the missionary doctor, who was a pediatrician, said to me, "Carol, if we were home, we'd be doing a bone marrow." And it took my breath away. Here I had this boy. They pumped him full of penicillin. He was not happy. And I carried him home that day, and I could tell you if we were on Loganov, I can tell you where that spot was. And I stopped and I said, "Lord, you sent us here as a family. You know exactly what's wrong with this little boy. And you need to take care of him." That fever never came back. God touched him. I know God healed him at that moment completely. There were other times in Todd's life that he gave us pause. Todd had an accident on a four-wheeler. One point in his life, he was on a tractor and took down the whole feeder in the barn. The bar caught the feeder and brought the whole thing down on the tractor and on Todd. It hit him so hard that on his back, you could see the iron mesh imprint. And he walked away with just that. And God kept him. I remember some other things that weren't so pleasant, but we won't go into them. My thought here is, and one thing that I did see in Todd, and one thing I always remembered with Todd, is that Todd has always been a people person. Todd always talked to whether they were old or young, or he talked Haitian or white, it didn't matter. And I remember saying to him when he was a little boy, "Maybe you ought to consider the ministry." And he said, "Why?" Good grief, why?
I was smart, really.
And that went on really through high school. But see, I was pondering some things. I was thinking over some things. I was seeing some things in Todd that I thought would be useful to the Lord in ministry. And that's what Mary did.
All right, so I have grown up hearing my mother share those stories over and over and over again. But when you become a parent, you understand some of that stuff. And when Mom and I were working on this, it just points to that, how much we have to trust God with our children. And I think if you're sitting here and you have teenagers, or maybe even it happens and they're still in their 40s, it's like this dance we have with God, right? We get convicted and we put them in God's hands and we're like, Lord, we want you to take our children and use them and all that stuff. And then in our parenthood and in our humanity, we snatch them back because we don't know to what extreme we can trust God. And I don't think we would say that. We wouldn't say we don't trust God with our children, but our parenting instincts kick in and we want to hold them close. And so as they get older, as we have to allow them to go through those hard times, as we have to allow them to grow up and make choices that there's no way we would choose for them, and yet that trusting in God, and I think, you know, there's a balance to that. When we went to Kentucky this year, Don mentioned that he was talking to John, and they said their biggest challenge was Christian parents had stood in the way of their kids going into ministry. Okay, so if you're a parent here, little ones, what are your dreams for your kids? You know, what if God calls them to be a minister or a missionary in Iraq? How does that excite you? It doesn't. And yet if God's calling is on that person's life, doing what God has called is the very best. Again, my mom saw ministry in my future, and I fought it for so long because I was growing up, I was raised in the church, and I saw all the dysfunction. Obviously, even when I was little, I saw it, and I thought, why in the world would anybody want to do that? And yet, my parents were faithful, and they just continued to encourage, and my mom never put her foot down and said, Todd, you got to be a pastor. They let me go that path, let God deal with me. And the other side of it is, so we can't be overprotective, but the other flip side of that trust thing is parents, your parent first. You cannot be your kid's friends. There are so many kids out there, their parents aren't giving them any boundaries whatsoever. They're just letting them float their own way, especially in things of the faith. They have to see it. They have to know that you stand. And whether culture says otherwise, whether your kids are whining and complaining because all their friends are getting to do it, we have to make a stand for our children. And so it's a happy balance. Yeah, hopefully someday you can be. And, you know, now that Tay's 20, Beth and I are more friends with Taylor now than maybe 5 years ago. We're trusting that Tristan and Ty will take that same path and that someday we'll be friends with them. But right now, they need parents. So it's that balance. Don't push away from God's plans with them, but also don't just let your kids raise themselves. There's that happy medium of trust in God. And it's hard. It absolutely is hard, but that's what we're called to do.
We were talking about, it mentioned transitions, and Mary had those from this baby who was absolutely dependent on her, and we all go through this as parents as they start to grow and they become less dependent on it. We see this in Mary and Joseph. We all know the story. They had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and they were returning home, and they were a day's journey out, and they noticed Jesus wasn't with them. And that, from what I read, it's because they traveled in two groups, and the women would be in a group and men, and so each one figured they were with the other one. Well, they found out he was gone, so a day's journey back. And then it says they looked for 3 days. Now, can you imagine not knowing where your child is for 4 days? I would think they were pretty frantic by the time they showed up in the temple. And Jesus looks at them calmly and says, why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house? I first read that, I thought if that had been Todd, I would have. There would have been words. We don't know what Mary and Joseph said, but an interesting thing, Jesus went home with them, and guess what? We don't hear for another 18 years anything about him, except it says, he grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. And that's from Luke 2. Mary was still in this process of trying to protect her child when she was looking for him, brought him home, and raised him. We don't know what happened in them 18 years, but the next time we start to see them and we see them together, we have a suspicion what's happened in those next 2 years. Mary was still treasuring things in her heart. I know as a mom, I often didn't understand the whys and ways of your life and your sister's. I don't understand why your sister struggles with dyslexia. I don't understand why my grandchildren do. I didn't understand when you were sick. I didn't understand when you were difficult. Not that I wasn't a difficult child. My mom isn't here anymore, so. But there were a lot of things I didn't understand. And then we go on faith, and we go and we trust that these children do have a plan. God has a plan for them. And our job is to make them open to that plan. That's what we need to be found doing. Okay, well, after 18 years, where we see Jesus and Mary is the wedding at Cana. I don't know if this was a family affair or what it was, but they were both there, and a number of people. Apparently more people showed up than they thought, or either that they were heavy drinkers, one or the other. And so they're there, and they run out of wine, don't they? We all know the story. They run out of wine. Mary steps up and says, Jesus, you ought to take care of this. He says to her, dear woman, why do you involve me? My time hasn't come. Did she let that stop her? No. She went to the servants, the people that were in charge, and says, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Now, why did Mary say that? And I don't think I've known this story for all the years of my life. Why did Mary say that? Because somewhere in that 18-year period, she had become more dependent on Jesus. He was now 30 years old. Ish. They think Joseph had died in that 18-year period. He was her firstborn. When she had a problem, she went to Jesus, and he took care of it. So here they were at this wedding. It was a natural response for her to go to him, and even when he said, no, my time hasn't come, go and say, whatever he says to do, do it. I don't think she was looking for a miracle. I just think she figured he would figure something out. It was that transition. And somewhere in that 18 period, Jesus had proven to his mom that he could take care of things. She believed in him. That transition of child and parent was changing, and Mary was becoming more dependent on her son. That happens to all of us. Next time, I want to point out that we see Mary was the time when Jesus was involved in his ministry, and some people were saying, he's crazy. This guy is a Looney Tune. This guy is either demon-possessed or there's something really wrong. I think this message got back to Mary, and like a good mom, she was going to go and see what condition her son was in. She was going to go check out the situation, so she and Jesus' brothers went to where he was. They get there, and Todd pointed out to me, said, I'm sure the people knew who she was. I'm sure when she arrived, they knew this was Jesus' mother. They go and tell Jesus that she's there, and Jesus says, who are my mother and my brothers? Here are my mothers and brothers, pointing to people. Whoever does God's will is my brother and my mother. How would you have reacted to that? What we see in the transition here is the ministry, the call is coming first. Again, we don't see Mary getting mad and stomping her feet and saying, well, if that's what you're saying, I'm going back home. And I believe she accepted it. She looked at the Lord's ministry, because later on, I think she followed him. But this is the first example. She put the ministry. He put the ministry. He said, what I'm called to do is the most important thing. It supersedes even that relationship. when our children are called by God, when they're following that plan that He has for them, that supersedes your needs and mine. The Bible says, in another part, to honor your father and mother, and that's scriptural. And I believe Christ did that. He wasn't disking his mom when he said this. All he was saying is, the ministry, the call, the reason I'm here, supersedes that relationship I have on a human level.
Yeah, going into ministry was interesting when we Beth and I got really that call to that full time. My mom was pretty supportive. My dad was like, "Are you sure?" And that kind of fits with their personalities. But I will tell you, over the course of that, there are things that my parents don't have a clue. Because if you were not in the ministry, I don't think you can fully understand everything that it is. And so I still go to my parents. They probably know more about you guys than you care to know. But I know that they'll pray about it, and I know they have godly wisdom. But it's been that interesting thing when the first time I don't remember the topic, but I can remember sharing with my parents something about ministry and the advice they gave, and it's running through my head. They don't have a clue. You know, here, they did not have the right answer. When your children get older, especially as God calls them, guess what? There are going to be times you're not going to understand what your kids are being called to. And can you trust God enough to put them in God's hands and let it go? And I'm sure my parents still discuss at home stuff that my sister's dealing with and stuff that we are, and they don't understand. We don't always get that understanding as parents. And again, God loves your children more than you do. God understands your children more than you do. And so our job, especially as our kids get older, is to continue to trust. And again, there's going to be times they might say, "Hey, I'm called to this," and you might not understand it. You might get it. But if you pray it up and God says, "I've got them," you need to let it go.
Next time I want to look at Mary is at the cross of Christ, and she was there. Probably she was there to see him beaten. I, as a mom, can't imagine. When Larry's mother passed away at 55, I remember her dad's, Larry's grandfather, saying to me, he said, "Carol, you never want to lose a child." And I think we know that. Any mom would say, "Take me. Don't take my child. Take me." But there was Mary at the cross, and there hung Jesus. In our minds today, I don't think we've seen the movie. I don't think we can really comprehend the cruelty of a cross. We're so conditioned that if there's pain, there's medication. If there's a problem, we try to take care of it. We in this country don't see some of the dark side sometimes, but the pain of a cross is something we can't comprehend. And Mary was there watching her son die this agonizing death. His heavenly father turns his back. He takes on the sin of the entire world. And he's suffering physically in ways we can't comprehend. And then he does an interesting thing. Christ is hanging on that cross. He looks down and he sees his mom. And he says, "Dear woman, here's your son." He referred to another disciple. To the disciple, "Here's your mom." And from that time on, the disciple took her home. In all the agony, all the suffering, Jesus took care of his mother. Can you imagine that? He recognized that relationship. He wanted his mother to be cared for. And he knew physically he wasn't going to be there to do that. And so he appointed a disciple to take care of her. Like I said, honor and respect is something our older people we grew up with, I think something that is missing somewhat in the younger generation. I was always raised that we were very respectful of our grandparents, our parents. And I think that's a very biblical concept. But as we look now, Larry and I, at the age that we are, we know that we're going to be depending on someone more than any time in our lives. We're getting older. I'm here to tell you, I know what that feels like. I can remember almost what they had on, not quite. When Larry had his heart attack and I rode in the ambulance from Elgin to Kalamazoo and he called Todd, and I remember getting out of that ambulance and I saw Todd and Beth there, and it was like a weight was just taken off my shoulders. They were there. My son and his wife were there. I know what that means, to have that kind of support. I also know, as I sit here today, that God could call them from this church tomorrow. He has blessed Larry and I by having them this close. Our daughter is far away, serving him. And God has allowed Todd and Beth to be close to us. But I know that God could call them away tomorrow. And this mom would never say to them, no, you can't go. Dad and I need you. Don't you know that we're going to depend on you more? Don't you know what it means that if something would happen that you could be there in a short time? We need you here. I would never, ever say that to them. Because bottom line, I want them to be exactly where God wants them to be. And you know what I saw on that cross? Jesus gave his mother not to the brothers. He gave his mother's care to a disciple. And she went home with him. God can put people in Larry and my life that if Todd and Beth and Chris and Corey aren't available, that they could come. And I know that. I know that. It's a change of an era in a lot of ways. Todd certainly isn't dependent on his parents. We're getting more dependent on our children. So it's a change of relationship. Do you have anything else here to add?
You've heard me say that parenting is a lifetime sentence, and I absolutely believe it to be true. But I think childhood is too. And as this transition occurs, and I know I've watched, I heard John and Dave pray this morning, and we watched that transition, and I know Norm and many of you, that aging parent thing. And I will tell you two things. So I'm not talking to parents, I'm talking to the children. It is a God-given task to take care of the generation that has come before you. What that looks like might be different, whether it's financial, spiritual, every family has its own thing. But don't think that you get the out-of-jail-free card once you're an adult. That is something that is important. The older generation, accept the help and care. Get it?
I heard it.
Yeah, I'm bad cop, Beth is good cop, because Christy's not coming home. And so my parents fully understand they don't want me caring. They want Beth caring for them. But if they don't behave, that's me. So, but honestly, even family and all that stuff is a gift from God. In that example of John versus the disciples, Jesus was the eldest son, and Jesus had the responsibility to take care of his mom. And his brothers at that time, many believe, weren't believers. And so really, he was taking care of her spiritual needs. So look, the gift of the family, parenthood, generation, grandparents, all this stuff, guess what? We are to take care of each other. And yeah, if God calls you and you need to move away or different things, that still does not get you out of the fact that you need to care for the older generation.
Mary was the only person at all that was there at the birth of Christ and at his death. I think she went through tremendous transitions in her life. Not only did she have to go through the transition of a normal parent-child relationship, she had to come to the place that her son was her savior. I don't think it was easy for her, but I think she had some things to teach us. And trust is a big part of that. So I guess my message to you today, every one of you, is that you can say with Mary, may it be to me as you have said. May it be to me as you have said. Happy Mother's Day. You're all very special in his sight.
And aren't you glad that I speak more like my dad and I'm not long-winded? So let's close in prayer, shall we? Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the gift of motherhood and parenthood, and for all of us that are in the midst of raising our children. Father God, help us to continue to help place our children in your hands. Lord, we pray for those plans that you've placed in them. Help us to be good examples. Help us to be parents first. Help us to lead our children to you. And we thank you and praise you for all that you do for us and your love for us and this opportunity to hear from your word. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.